You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network. Yeah, a little bit of motivation on a Monday. So, welcome to the House of All Marine Radio. Hope you're having a good. Hope you had a good weekend. I did. I think the book is making progress. So I'm excited about that. I have a collaborator. I can't make an announcement, though, yet. So I'm excited about that. Because she's really smart. Yeah. And so it's exciting to work with smart people. Blah, 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 blah. So anyhow, that's going on. I'm also making a movie, kind of. It's not... really, well, it's kind of a movie, but it's not really. But I don't want to call it a video. But so I'm making a movie. Yeah. And it's a lot of work. I'm not going to lie to you. It's more work than I thought it would be. And what's specifically a lot of work is the audio editing. I mean, really? I listen to myself. I'm like, what an idiot. So I have to clean up all clean all that up, and it's not a short presentation either. So good morning to you on a Monday. That's taking up a bunch of my time. But some other things that, you know, that have kind of caught my attention. And one of them is Walmart. Yeah, Walmart. So, well, why Walmart? Well, Walmart transformed. And here's the link to more and more malls are going vacant. Amazon made an announcement over the weekend that they were going to. They were in negotiations with one of the major mall owners in the country to create Amazon fulfillment centers in Sears and JCPenney stores that are being closed around the nation because Amazon laid the wood to them. Interesting, right? They're not going to be stores. They're going to be fulfillment centers, I guess. Like, what's the difference? I don't know. When you walk in, you're going to have this sense of fulfillment? Well, that ought to be interesting. We all should go to that. So, Chuck Schumer, man, that guy kills me. He's an unproductive human being, man. Anyway, so I got to thinking, you know, American retail begins a transformation away from American products when Walmart, of all things, shows up. Walmart with its incredible power, its incredible selection, then it begins to drive price. Then it begins to look for people that can supply your soccer ball. Instead of paying $8.99, you could pay $4.99. Yeah. But who's producing the son of a bitch? I'll tell you who. The Chinese are. Yeah. The Chinese are. And that's not some little entrepreneur in China, just so you know. That's the Chinese government all over your business. So anyway, Walmart runs everybody out of business. I mean, they completely changed the landscape of retail in the country. Now, so I looked up. Now, I don't know if this is true, but this is what I found. Question. First of all, I'll tell you where I found this. It's from the organization or the web organization called Quora, Q-U-O-R-A. So if you look it up, right? Quora is an American question and answer website where questions are asked, answered, followed, and edited by internet users, either factually or in the form of opinions. Okay. So that's what Quora is. Anyway, so I was looking for an answer. I go to Quora. What percentage of Walmart products originate in China? Walmart's, okay. So here's an answer from somebody who's a fresh production associate at Walmart. Between 70% and 80% of product come from China. The bread is the bread in the bakery. The baked in-store bread, as far as I know, is made in the USA. Produce is from other countries and does include U.S.-grown products. Most of Walmart-branded stuff that isn't food is almost all from China. How about that? Here's another one. Customer service, Walmart. This guy worked in customer service. From names Chad from Walmart from 2000 to 2012. Your question should be, how much of Walmart's inventory comes from the USA? About 80% of Walmart's inventory comes from China. So, pretty amazing. Pretty amazing. And the Walton family, big time conservative family. Changed the landscape, and we've completely outsourced retail, destroyed all those businesses, and sent all that work to China. Congratulations. So now Amazon wants to go back into malls. Now, how is Amazon going to escape the fate of everybody else? So then what you have to do is, if you're Sears or somebody, you shrink your footprint and do what? Get after, right? Sears was Amazon before Amazon was anything. The Sears Roebuck catalog. That was Amazon back in the day. Sears forgot what made it great, though. Yeah. And they forgot to do it a second time. I say, you know, the guy who had the idea for a variety pack. He first worked at Frito-Lay. So when I was a kid, you'd go to the store and you'd see Frito-Lay potato chips for kids for lunches, right? In the little bags, all yellow packs. And then all of a sudden one day, some dude had this variety, this idea about the variety pack. That guy, you know, he got promoted. He made it, you know, he made a ton of money on that deal. Then what happened? He got fired. Yeah, what's he done for us lately? The dude invented the variety pack years ago, but what has he done for us lately? Nothing. You're done. And this round of cuts, sorry, Larry, you're out. So what does Larry do? He goes to work for Procter & Gamble. Right? And so he's sitting at a meeting one day, a marketing meeting, and he says, hey, you know, we're like these boxes of tampons. Why don't we create a variety pack? Larry knows how to do one thing, right? And they go, holy shit, that's a great idea, Larry. You're a genius. He gets promoted again, hangs around for 10 years, and then they cut him in the next big round of cuts. So, but Larry knows how to do one thing, and he keeps making a career out of it. So Sears forgot the catalog, right? It was the catalog, man. The catalog is what made Sears what it was. All those rural folk get that Sears catalog and they order that stuff. All we did was put that online. So anyway, my point is, it's, you know, what we've done to American retail, the number of five and dime stores and all that, they got put out of business by Walmart leveraging Chinese goods. Pretty amazing. Right? What that did to U.S. cities. Right? All those retail spaces, all those downtown stores out of business. Well, the same thing's happening on the internet today. Pretty interesting. Now the internet is finishing that deal. So what do malls become? What does the landscape of retail become? So the COVID event and online purchasing now further erodes what you have available to you in stores. So the only thing that will be locally available is what? Unique products. That somehow that you have to go look at or whatnot. So, I was thinking about that over the weekend. Another thing, I had a conversation. Another thing that was in my head over the weekend is this. We don't fight in certain domains in this country. Make no mistake, there's a Cold War that's going on right now. And you hear people say, well, we don't want to go back to the days of the Cold War. Well, guess what? You're there. Russia's at war with the United States by other means. Okay? Russia's conducting this social media campaign and have been doing it for a long time. Seeking to continue to do nothing but pour gas every time there's a blow up in the United States. Chinese, same thing. Iran, same thing. Do we contest in that? Do we stop that? How about the economic war that China wages, specifically China wages around the world? We've only recently stopped playing the emperor's new clothes with them. So it's interesting that this war is being waged on the free nations of the world by totalitarian regimes. And how does a free nation contest that? Interesting stuff. We just don't. And so, kind of some rambling thoughts of mine from over the weekend. One is the way Walmart changed the landscape of American retail, so you could buy your soccer ball for $4.99, sent all that business to China, and now we look around and like, hey, well, what happened? Right? What happened? So there you have it. And then, you know, think about that. We don't, in the economic domain, you know, the Chinese are completely at war with us. completely at war with us and the Western system of a post-World War II rules-based order. How do we fight back? I mean, we've had administration after administration after administration that has never fought back. That's kind of interesting. So anyway, So I had a good weekend. So the video that I'm making, that's kind of an interesting experience. So the presentation itself, because it's going to play in Hawaii later this week. What's today? The 10th? It's going to play Thursday in Hawaii. And so I'm just in the finishing parts of it. So, but then I have to go out and I have to record, you know, I have to record an opening. So I'm like, okay, how do I do this? I've never done that. So, I took my phone. I've got a Samsung Galaxy Note 10. So it's got a great camera on it. So it's like, okay, how do I do this? Well, I need the mic on the camera, on the phone won't suffice, but I have a microphone. So I had to go buy the right cord because the cords for it, I sent to Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenny to use microphones that I gave them. So I had to go do that. And so I set everything up. And, you know, that camera's so close to your face, man. First of all, it's like, good God, how did I get to be so ugly? I used to be, like, moderately, you know, like, I could acquit myself halfway decent, right? And it's like, oh, my God, look at that train wreck. So that's the first thing that's distracting. And then, ultimately, you do get over that. And then I thought, okay, so what should I mean, how do I do this? I mean, I am not like a highfalutin. When I do post-traumatic winning and walk out and say, I'm here to tell you the truth, and if you don't like it, I don't give a shit. I'm not wearing a suit and tie when I do that. Normally wearing a pair of, you know, decent jeans and a white shirt. And so I thought, well, how should I do this? And I thought, you know what? I should be in a hooded sweatshirt with a baseball hat on. And this thing opens, and I just say, hi, I'm Mike McNamara. And I'm going to do it in my backyard, I think. So I'll film it at night. I'll film it tonight. And so there'll be like it'll be evening, so there won't be direct sunlight, but you'll still be able to see. I mean, it won't be night. It'll be evening. And then I'll film another one at night, I think. So I'll do two versions of it. But it'll just be saying me, welcome to post-traumatic winning. It's my honor to, it's my honor to do this. And we're going to be together for about 2.5 hours, and then I'm going to join you via the wonders of Zoom. So, welcome to post-traumatic winning. So, I'll do that. But I thought it's like, make it normal. I should maybe have Jack or Joe in it with me. Yeah, because those idiots ought to be in there. One of them. And so, from the get-go, my goal is from the get-go, people look at it and go, this guy obviously isn't encumbered by the stuff most people do. This is not normal. And then the whole thing will go from that. And if I keep my fingers crossed, but my collaborator hopefully comes through and does the introduction, it'll be off the hook awesome. So on this Monday morning, the 10th day of August, good morning to you. I hope you had a good weekend. The United States Marine Corps Band makes this morning official. Grant Newsham's going to join us in about 45 minutes. So we'll open the show. We'll check the news of the day, and then Grant will join us. So looking forward to that. Grant got a new job. Yeah. Well, I wouldn't say a new job. He's got the same job, but he's going to be affiliated with Standby. Let me tell you who's going to be affiliated here in the future. Yeah, so we'll let him tell everybody about it. But let's see. Here's the actual press release. Center for Security Policy. Grant Newsham joins the center as a senior fellow. We are pleased to announce that Grant Newsham has joined the Center for Security Policy as a senior fellow. Grant Newsham is a senior research fellow at the Japan Forum for Strategic Studies, particularly focusing on Asia-Pacific defense, political, and economic matters. Does he say he's a regular on Allmarine Radio? It does not, those bastards. We know why Grant's prominent now. Everybody else might be in denial, but we are not. So congratulations to Grant. That's a good deal. So we'll talk to Grant here in a minute. Not in a minute, but about 45 minutes, 44 actually. And then we'll get his thoughts on his new affiliation and what does that mean for his life. We'll also talk about the United States and China. Kind of coming out of the closet relative to their little fight that they've been having. So that's been kind of interesting to watch. So good morning to you. We'll talk about Grant. We'll talk to Grant about that stuff in a bit. The United States Marine Corps band makes this morning official. Good morning. This is dedicated to the hope my collaborator can come through. I'm actually really excited to have somebody help me with the book, which that person told me was, hey, it's 90% done. I was like, who? I don't think it's 90% done, but it's getting there. So this is dedicated to the hope that all that works out and that good things happen. So, this is dedicated to that person.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say it honestly and bluntly.
Once you're out of the Corps, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran, or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Marine Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
We'll check the weather right now. Haven't done that in a while. Yeah. Currently it is sunny and 85 in Northern Virginia. On the Carolina coast, it is mostly sunny and 87. 29 Palms, sunny and 86. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton, partly sunny and 66 as mild weather continues here on the West Coast. Camp Smith in Hawaii, dark cloudy in 73. Okinawa, dark cloudy in 84. In Afghanistan, it is evening, clear in 97. And cooled off a little bit in Iraq. It is late in the afternoon, sunny, and 101. Currently in the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is mostly cloudy and 64. Looking for a high of 72 today, 75 tomorrow, 77 on Wednesday, 79 on Thursday, and 85 on Friday. That is a look at your weather. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll check news headlines here. So, whatever you do, don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
We all have the ability to touch the lives of those around us. Moms, dads, neighbors, teachers, friends. These are the people who are always there to listen when we need to talk. Though their actions may not always be monumental, they are always felt. To someone going through a difficult time, a text, a call, or a visit can mean so much. Reach out to the veterans in your life today. Let them know they're not alone. One simple act can make all the difference. That's the power of one. If you're a veteran in crisis or know one who is, visit VeteransCrisisLine.net for free 24/7 confidential support. Call 1-800-273-8255 and press 1.
I'm good, but I have a story and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran...
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good.
but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
Call in on vacation up in Lake Tahoe. Swimming in that cold lake. Top story on this Monday morning here on All Marine Radio, anyway, is authorities on Friday recovered the bodies of 8 service members killed when a Marine Amtrak sunk in hundreds of feet of water off the Southern California coast. The remains of 7 Marines and a sailor were found after underwater salvage operations that followed the sinking on July 30th. Their remains will be flown to Dover, Delaware, to be prepared for burial by mortuary affairs teams in Dover. And then they will be released to their families in accordance with the family wishes. The Amtrak sank in 385 feet of water as it headed back to a United States Navy ship that was part of the 15th MEU conducting routine training. So that's the top story. Wasn't exactly the top story in Early Bird, but it's the top story here on All Marine Radio. So that's those Marines' remains have been recovered. As that story continues to unfold and exactly what happened, I mean, the Commandant released a statement saying that those Amtraks encountered heavy seas on their way out to their ship. But again, only, you know, why did all the other Amtraks make it and only one not? So, you know, what's the rest of the story? And I guess we will obviously wait to find out that. Another thing that's been in the news has been the story about TikTok. Now, TikTok, you know, if you talk to intelligence people about that, what they will tell you is this: TikTok data mines everybody. And so what is that data mining? What does that mean? And the answer is, what it means is it gets permissions on your phone. And I mean, they know everything. They know everything about you. And so if that doesn't bother you, then you don't have a problem with companies like TikTok. But if that does bother you, that, you know, the Chinese military has access to what's on your phone, then, you know, you really ought to do a little bit more research in terms of, you know, the apps you download and what you do. I mean, because it's an incredibly popular tool, and it's amazing, you know, what and again, just the United States, you know, in denial about a lot of this stuff. We talked about, the Cold War that currently goes on, that we don't contest it, right, in the economic sphere, or we're just starting to, right? On social media, we've largely stayed out of it, as, you know, nations like Russia, China, they try to influence events in the United States. So anyway, I think quite rightly, the United States has taken issue with TikTok. Headline in the Washington Post that runs and stars the stripe, TikTok fate was shaped by a knockdown, drag-out Oval Office brawl. Well, we love that. Last week, as leaders in Silicon Valley, China, and Washington raced to seal the fate of one of the world's fastest-growing social media companies, a shouting match broke out in the Oval Office between two of President Donald Trump's top advisors. In front of Trump, trade advisor Peter Navarro and other aides, Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin began arguing about the Chinese-owned video sharing service TikTok and that it should be sold to a U.S. company. Mnuchin had talked several times to Microsoft senior leaders and was confident that he had rallied support within the administration for a sale to the tech giant on national security grounds. Navarro pushed back, demanding an outright ban of TikTok, while accusing Mnuchin of being soft on China, the people said. Speaking on condition of anonymity, of course. The Treasury Secretary appeared taken aback, they said. The ensuing argument, which was described as one of the people as knockdown dragout, was preceded by months of backroom dealings among investors, lobbyists, and executives. Many of these stakeholders long understood the critical nature of establishing close connections with key figures in the Trump administration. So anyway, TikTok. Right, the article goes on. TikTok is considered one of the biggest technological success stories to come out of China. People around the world use the app to make short videos about their lives, pets, and dance moves. Parent company ByteDance CEO Zhang Yiming calls it a window into the world. It has 100 million users in the United States. Think about that. 100 million in a nation of 325 approximately a million people. But with its success came scrutiny. TikTok was first identified as a potential national security threat in the summer of 2019 when U.S. officials approached ByteDance about concerns regarding its acquisition. That turned into a formal national security investigation this year. It was led by the Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, an interagency body that screens foreign investment transactions for national security risks and recommends to the president on security grounds whether certain proposed acquisitions should be rejected. In TikTok's case, the app has been downloaded more than 175 million times in the United States. So certain people downloading more than once, and like other apps, accesses copious amounts of sensitive personal data, including internet and browsing activity, location data, search histories. The information is potentially available to the Chinese government under a national intelligence law that requires any Chinese company to support, assist, and cooperate with the state intelligence network. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. So anyway, knockdown dragout in the Oval Office, so stay tuned to more of TikTok. Again, at some point, you know, the free nations of the world have to square up with what the hell's happening in China. And we can, you know, the do-gooders and all the rest of that stuff can say what they want. But, right, at some point, you got to face the truth. All right, Marines wrap up a quarantine in Australia, putting the Darwin Rotational Force at full strength. Go down there and you got to stay in quarantine for 2 weeks. That's another headline story in Stars and Stripes, along with their daily coronavirus stories. One story, aging Hiroshima survivor prays anti-nuclear message won't die with fellow Hibakusha. And he was 8 years old when the atomic blast over Hiroshima picked her name is Keiko Ogura, slammed her unconscious to the ground. So, anyhow, those anniversaries last week, talked about that. It kind of an interesting little discussion on the Lynch, Kenny, Costantini hour that you might want to check out. Another interesting kind of historical story. Lincoln's mail included advice, warnings, and a call to shoot deserters. Yeah. I thought Lincoln was a nice guy. He seems like, you know, that's the interesting thing about President Lincoln is that, you know, people want to ascribe all these things to him that might not all be true as the great emancipator. So there's another Washington Post story that appears in Stars and Stripes. A disgraced Army officer begged to be let out of Sing Sing prison. A Navy officer wanted to get married. A general sent a list of privates who were to be shot for desertion. A 65-year-old man addressed the president as Father Abraham and offered to serve in the Army without pay. A friend would serve too. We have faith in God and dry powder, the writer said. An Italian opera singer expressed anger at the president. Had not replied to her. How can a great personage like Your Excellency, surrounded of glory and ornamented by fine education, not answer a lady's letters? He was busy. Complaints, advice, congratulations, introduction, pleas, job requests, military reports poured into Abraham Lincoln's mailbox before and during his presidency. Last month, the Library of Congress completed a 2-year crowdsourced project to transcribe 10,000 documents in its vast collection of Abraham Lincoln's papers and make them legible. The effort rendered into print the scribblings of legions of correspondents who wrote with a variety of spelling, grammar, and punctuation skills. It was finished on July 8th and augments a prior Lincoln transcription project that ran at the Lincoln Study Center at Knox College in Galesburg, Illinois, from 1999 to 2002. The library had asked the college to transcribe and annotate all of its Lincoln autograph manuscripts and a substantial portion of Lincoln's incoming correspondence when the items first went online, the college says, on its website. So, how cool is that? So, yeah, big article about with Lincoln's correspondence. I think that's cool. I mean, not everybody likes that kind of stuff. I do, though, so I'm good with it. So a few headlines from the Wall Street Journal this morning. China sanctions 11 Americans over Hong Kong moves. What are Chinese sanctions? What harm are they going to do to anybody? Can't go to China? Interesting little story. U.S. health chief praises Taiwan's COVID-19 success, irks Beijing in a rare visit. Alex Azar's visit meant to convey a message of strong support for Taiwan and to discuss cooperation in public health efforts. You know, and again, Taiwan largely ignored. You want to know why? Because China says, no, don't do it, and plays the extortion game. Yeah. Another Chinese story. Hong Kong publisher, right, his name is Jimmy Lai, L-A-I, the publisher of Hong Kong's widely read pro-democracy newspaper, Apple Daily, was arrested on suspicion of foreign collusion over the weekend. So that is in the news. And Chicago in the news again today. If you haven't seen the news, Chicago police shot somebody, rioting ensued, and guess what got looted again? High end, right? So again, what you see is you see criminal gangs, right? I would say they might be at the center of organizing it and then using these riots as cover to loot extremely high end retail outlets. Yeah, jewelry stores, very high end stuff. Hundreds of looters descended on Chicago's upscale Magnificent Mile and other shopping areas overnight, breaking windows and cleaning out brand name stores and mom and pop shops alike in what appeared to be an orchestrated attack that came hours after a suspect fired at police who then shot him on Chicago's south side. Listen to this. Police raised downtown drawbridges, closed freeway ramps, and made more than 100 arrests in the chaotic early morning hours. Officers arresting a suspect with a cash register looted from a business were fired upon by a passing car and returned fire. Quote, this was not an organized protest. This was an incident of pure criminality, Chicago Police Superintendent David Brown said this morning, noting the police had uncovered multiple social media posts urging looters to converge on downtown in a caravan of cars. Police deployed 400 officers downtown. So again, this pendulum will continue to swing until the average American stands up and says, you know what? This is ridiculous. Till people run on a law and order platform, until these idiots who somehow or other got to be city council people and mayors get run out of town. But this stuff, I saw an interview with somebody over the weekend up in Portland, said, look, I'm just sick of this. I'm sick of not being able to go to downtown Portland. I live near here. There's things all over this city that support my life. I can't do that stuff now. Right, it's time for this stuff to end. So, we shall see. We shall see. But again, this whole idea. What did I see? That Seattle's gonna let go 100 police officers? Let me know how that works for you. I mean, it's just stupid. It's just stupid. And so, it goes. Top headlines in Marine Corps Times today. There's a story about the recovery of the remains of the Marines and the vehicle, which will, the post-mortem on the vehicle will allow investigators and people involved in accident research to go ahead and find out what happened. Like I said, I mean, they were the only vehicle that went down. So one of the things that you do with those vehicles is when you do get into heavy surf, everybody buttons up so no water can come in. So not exactly sure what happened on all of that. And so another headline, Brent Scowcroft, national security advisor for two presidents, died. He's a retired Air Force lieutenant general. He was 95 years old. The probably one of the most important stories and we were talking about Afghanistan, the Lynch, Kenny Costantini group remains pessimistic on the future of Afghanistan and remains committed to its vision of major powers will control the cities, the Taliban will control the countryside. Either they will agree to share power like that or nothing will happen. Afghan council frees 400 Taliban prisoners to set up peace talks laid out in a deal with the United States. A traditional Afghan council concluded Sunday with hundreds of delegates agreeing to free 400 Taliban members, paving the way for an early start to negotiations between Afghans warring sides. The declaration calls for an immediate start to negotiations and a ceasefire. The move looks to bring the United States a little closer to bringing home its troops and ending its long military engagement. No date has been set for the release, but negotiations between Kabul's political leadership and the Taliban are expected to begin as early as next week. So, anyway, Afghan President Ashraf Ghani praised delegates for their decision and urged the Taliban to stop fighting. So we'll see. We'll see. Cautiously pessimistic on that whole deal, which is a Grant Newsham term, which I like very much. Grant will join us in about 14 minutes. Top five stories in early bird. Number one, Secretary of Defense Esper says U.S. troop presence in Afghanistan will be less than 5,000 by November. And oddly enough, that's the time of the election. Number two, Marine amphibious assault vehicle successfully recovered with remains of all eight missing service members. That's the number two story. Number three, here's what you need to know about the new guidance for troops planning to travel during coronavirus pandemic. I just went coast to coast that's the third trip I've taken in the last month. So been to North Carolina twice, been to Montana. And I have to tell you that I think if you just do the basic things you're supposed to do, wear a mask and socially distance, I've never had anybody sit next to me on a flight. The closest person is a seat away. And unless you're related, which I'm not, you don't have much interaction with them. Although I did talk extensively with a gentleman headed up to Montana on my flight from Denver into Montana. But, I mean, it's not... it's not that daunting if you do the things you're supposed to do. And again, what's interesting is if you watch the news coming out of Major League Baseball, where do they have their problems? They have their problems when people decide that they're going to go to clubs. Yeah, I mean, if you can believe that. Go in there and not wear a mask. I'm not staying at home, man. This is bullshit. And then they come back with the virus, and then they quickly spread it to a ton of other people. So, again, I can fix a lot of stuff. Can't fix stupid. Troops looking to travel on temporary duty for a permanent change of station orders or for vacation will have to complete a risk assessment and possibly a restriction of movement before and or after per Defense Department guidance published last Thursday. The guidelines can also apply to operational movements, but component commanders have more local guidance, which may include more restrictions, but might also allow air crew, for example, to travel without remaining overnight on either end. So more rules for the DOD. Number four, Esper appears to backtrack on Beirut explosion cause after White House pushback. So the president last week said, you know, my generals think it was terrorist related. So this story comes out of CNN. Defense Secretary Mark Esper is downplaying any differences he had with the White House's assessment as to what caused the deadly explosion in Beirut after his speculation that the blast was likely the result of an accident drew pushback from the White House. Quote, so Mark Esper getting sideways with the president again. The bottom line is we still don't know what caused the explosion, Esper told Fox News in an interview that aired over the weekend. On the first day, as President Trump rightly said, we thought it might have been an attack. Some of us speculated that it could have been, for example, a Hezbollah arms shipment that blew up, maybe a Hezbollah bomb-making facility. Who knows, Esper said, adding the media was trying to stoke a division between he and the President of the United States. Despite his comments that some were speculating that the explosion may have involved an attack, several defense officials told CNN Tuesday the U.S. military did not have any information pointing to an attack. An assessment echoed by Esper on Wednesday when he said most believed it was an accident. However, that's not what the White House said. So anyway, the Peyton Place that goes on. You know, you can live very nicely without monitoring the Peyton Place events that come out of the Oval Office and the White House. I mean, I have. I've tuned most of that stuff out. Number five, the White House agrees to cover all costs of guard coronavirus missions for three more states. Yeah, you know what? One of the interesting things that's going to come out of all of this is the financial impact. When I went to Jacksonville a month ago, I was standing there getting a rental car, Jacksonville, North Carolina, to go to Camp Lejeune to speak. And I was talking to the guy. And I said, how many flights do you get in a day? And he said, oh, now? He said, we get four or five. I said, what was it before? He said, about 20. Think about that. So all that revenue that comes with passengers, airplanes landing, all that money is not there. It's cut by 75%. Sales tax cut by what? All that is funding states. All that's funding communities, right? And now if you look at the commissioners of the big five conferences in the United States had a meeting, and they are cautiously pessimistic about playing football in the fall. Well, let me tell you, that TV revenue is a big part of big education. So what happens when big education doesn't play football and basketball for a year? And those hundreds of millions of dollars for institutions and those billions of dollars nationally don't go where they're supposed to go. What happens then? Yeah, the universities are going to take an incredible haircut. So, and the federal government can't bail everybody out. So what happens? So we're going to see. It's going to be interesting. So, yeah, so these questions are, who's going to pay for guard missions in the state? White House official agreed to cover all the costs of National Guard coronavirus response missions for three additional states on Friday, signaling that the federal government may eventually do the same for more states in the coming months. What states? Two states, Texas and Florida, were granted an exemption to the new rule and granted full cost coverage. On Friday, the White House added Connecticut, California, and Arizona to the list. Right? So, anyhow, money's going to be an issue. Raising taxes and things like that, going to be an issue. A couple of operational headlines. We'll take a break, and then we'll get Grant on. After 20 years, Army logistics support vessels finally leave the Middle East. How about that? Did you know that Army logistics support vessels were over there doing that? Their logistics support vessels were escorted out of the U.S. Central Command region in mid-July and early August as missions in Iraq and Afghanistan were expected to taper off in the future. The vessels are now beginning the long journey back to the United States after two decades spent supporting Army logistical needs in the Middle East. Counterintuitively, the Army actually has more watercraft than the Navy, according to Army Central Command. One of the service's responsibility is to establish port entry operations for troops. That's scary, right? The Army has more ships in the region than the Navy. What? Yeah, I'm not lying to you. The Army has always been big. Good news story, right? Seoul no longer off limits starting on Monday today, thanks to low coronavirus numbers, according to U.S. Forces Korea. So a little bit of sunshine in an otherwise bleak day. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, Grant Newsham should be with us. We'll talk to him about the latest news in the Pacific Rim. So whatever you do, we'll talk about his new affiliation. So don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio coming up next, right here on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.